Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
All right, well, off we go. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. If you want to hop on board, weigh in on the conversation. Should the Patriots keep three quarterbacks, or do you think they're good enough with just two? The number is 617-779-7937. I think I've made it abundantly clear. There is no reason for Brian Hoyer to be on this roster. You have a more talented, younger player in Jarrett Stidham. This team is loaded in terms of the actual rest of the roster, so why not use that roster spot on somebody else that, you know, call me crazy, could contribute on Sunday. Okay, that's what I'm interested in. Who can contribute on Sunday? Brian Hoyer can't. Jarrett Stidham can be the backup. You're fine with that. And you keep another guy on the team that could actually play a role at some point during the season, which we know Brian Hoyer is not going to play a role on Sundays on this team whatsoever. It just makes no sense to me. And the other thing that I'd point out with Jarrett Stidham is Bill Belichick had this run where it seemed like the backup quarterbacks he wasn't drafting at a high level. You think about his recent history. Jimmy Garoppolo is now starting in San Francisco. I'm not the biggest Jimmy G guy, but nonetheless, he's starting. Jacoby Brissett is now starting in Indianapolis. So he's been able to get assets back for the last two quarterbacks he's drafted, and it looks like he's right on the money again with Stidham. Because Stidham, again, I understand he's playing against some scrubs, but you look at the way that he's been able to throw the ball, he's been able to be mobile, get outside the pocket, pick up first downs. He looks really, really good right now. I thought some impressive things that stuck out to me tonight. There's a couple of things I'd like to get to. So the first one is on that first drive. Ran for 8 yards on the first play. Third and two, found Josh Gordon. Nice 19-yard pickup. Scrambled again for 8 yards. The mobility sticks out. And for a young quarterback, that can be pivotal to his development, because as you're still learning how to play against NFL defenses, that's something that can really help you going forward, is using your legs as a weapon. So another thing, he found Edelman on that third and two down the field for 20 yards. Second drive, after misreading a play on first down, he tried to throw into traffic to Gordon. Wrong play, but then he comes right back, finds Thomas for a 21-yard gain. Then he found him for a 7-yard pickup. And then he picked up a first down on a scramble for 19 yards. Okay, so then he had the negative, the interception, where he held on to the ball way too long. He moved out of the pocket, so he knew that the pressure was there, but he held on to the ball too long. So that's an error, of course, he made. But then on the third drive, he's able to bounce back, where he throws it up to Gordon, and Gordon draws that 35-yard penalty on the pass interference. Then he finds Demaryius Thomas for a 35-yard touchdown. Perfect pass behind the defender. Beautiful ball. And then on the fourth drive, throws a laser to Josh Gordon, 11-yard pickup. Then another back shoulder throw to Demaryius Thomas for 28 yards. And he throws an out route to Thomas for 7 yards. And then he buys time, finds him in the back of the end zone for a touchdown. And you think about Jarrett Stidham, this is a guy that just got drafted into the NFL. He looks completely comfortable in the Patriots offense. And from a talent perspective, he jumps off the page. This reminds me of when Jimmy Garoppolo, remember, Jimmy Garoppolo, apparently he was like terrible during practice. But once he got into the games, remember in some of the preseason games, you're like, wow, dude's got ability. That's the thing that sticks out to me about Jarrett Stidham, because sometimes what we see from backup quarterbacks is they don't have the arm strength. They don't have the mobility, and Jarrett Stidham has it all from a skill set perspective. He can make all the throws. There's no weaknesses with the arm whatsoever, and we saw the mobility as well. Like, we've seen guys through the years where, like Brian Hoyer, for example, guy does not have a big arm whatsoever. A little bit mobile, not as mobile as Stidham. Stidham is a really good athlete. You didn't know about that coming out of Auburn. I mean, he showed some of his running ability at the collegiate level, but man, he can really get out there and scoot. Something that Tom Brady, of course, can't do. I'm not comparing Tom Brady and Jarrett Stidham, but definitely something that helps a young quarterback. So I look at Jarrett Stidham, I say, why won't this guy just be the backup quarterback for the Patriots? And maybe you can even get something for Brian Hoyer. At this particular point in time, Nick and I were talking about it before the show. What about the Colts? The Colts right now are desperate in terms of the quarterback position, right? Because they went from having arguably the best quarterback situation in the NFL, because you had Andrew Luck, who is an elite level quarterback, and you had Jacoby Brissett, who's considered to be one of the best backups in the league. But now you go to having a low level starter to who the hell knows who's going to be the Colts backup. I mean, they're bringing in guys like Brock Osweiler, Brandon Whedon, Matt Castle. So you may be able to say, hey, listen, you want to give us something for Brian Hoyer, because if not, we're just going to cut him and he's going to go to the highest bidder. He's going to find a suitor out there. So if the Colts want to make sure that they don't let Brian Hoyer get away and they get a quality backup quarterback in there, because apparently what people think is this unbelievable backup quarterback is so great in the room. He helps out all the other guys in the room. He's so great on the scout team. If the Colts want to make sure they get that player, maybe they would give something up of significance to get him over from the Patriots. And then you can actually get an asset for a guy like Brian Hoyer, who's never going to play a down for the Patriots this season unless something happens to two quarterbacks, in my mind, because I don't know how you can't say after the way Jarrett Stidham's played in the preseason that he's the backup quarterback going into the year. You'd be doing the team a disservice if you actually started Brian Hoyer in a game that hypothetically Tom Brady couldn't play in. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. Let's get to JD. He's in Springfield. What's up, JD?
You're driving a monster.
JD. Yo, JD. Who's he talking to? His buddy or something? Jeez, man. You call a radio show and that's, you're not ready to go. I mean, bad job out of JD. Pick your game up, man. Pick your damn game up. That's embarrassing. Number 617-779-7937. Okay, so speaking of quarterbacks, something else I wanted to get to tonight is I was taking a peek at the Patriots schedule. Not that I didn't know most of the games, but I just wanted to go through it in terms of the quarterbacks that the Patriots actually play this year. So if you look at it, we all know you open up the season at home against the Steelers. So Big Ben, okay, that's a quality quarterback, an elite level quarterback, somewhere between the fourth and the 10th best quarterback in the league, but at a pretty high level. Then you go to Miami. You play the combination of Josh Rosen and Ryan Fitzpatrick, whoever wins that job. You would think it's going to be Fitzpatrick, but nonetheless, both guys that aren't very good at the quarterback position at this particular point in time. Maybe Fitzy gets hot, because sometimes Fitzy will on this run for like 4 weeks or 5 weeks, whatever the case may be. Then you have Darnold, the second-year guy that completed 57% of his passes last year. Then you have the Bills and Josh Allen.
Guy sucks.
Yeah, Josh Allen completed 52% of his passes last year. Not very good. Then you play Washington.
Case Keenum. Yeah. Guy sucks.
Yeah, Case Keenum, or maybe Haskins. And Haskins, at that point, I can't imagine that they would let, because Haskins didn't win the job, or I should say they gave the job to Case Keenum. It's not like Dwayne Haskins was so bad they didn't give it to him. It's just like, oh yeah, we're going with the veteran. Okay, great. So anyway, it'll be Keenum for that week. So you play Case Keenum. The Giants, it's going to be either, we saw it tonight, Eli or Daniel Jones. That'd be like week six, so I'm guessing that's going to be Eli still. Then you have the Jets again with, again, Darnold, second-year quarterback. Then you play Baker. Okay, Baker, a decent rookie year, but let's all look at the fact that he was 1-5 against winning teams. And oh, by the way, anybody else getting sick of Baker Mayfield? I certainly am. I'm not buying into the Browns hype whatsoever. Okay, don't count me in on that group of all these people out there that are buying into the Browns hype. Oh, great. Baker Mayfield, this guy's more concerned about his GQ articles. And by the way, he lost me when they showed that picture of him in GQ. He had, like, when you're in high school, you know when you're in high school, like some people, I didn't personally have this, but I remember people in high school having these. They had, like, the chains with the numbers on them. Baker Mayfield has a chain with his number on it. Like, come on, man. Like, how old are you? What are you, like, are you going to wear a Letterman? And not to mention the fact he's taking shots at Daniel Jones in GQ saying, I don't know why the Giants drafted him. Like, just worry about playing. Not to mention you have Odell Beckham Jr., massive ego. Jarvis Landry, massive ego. And the head coach is a rookie in Freddie Kitchens. Good luck controlling that locker room if you're Freddie Kitchens. Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry. What could go wrong with that team? Seriously. Anyway, so I move on. Then you play Baltimore with Lamar Jackson. He can run. Okay, I'll say that about Lamar Jackson. But throwing the football, not exactly a strength of his. And call me crazy, but for a quarterback, I want him to throw the ball. He completed 58% of his passes last year. Okay, Eagles, Carson Wentz, that's legit. Yeah, that guy's legit. The question will he actually be healthy, because he's always hurt. But that game's on November 17th, so he could be out by then, because usually he's out by that point in the season. Then you have the Cowboys with Dak Prescott. Not a big fan of Dak Prescott's game. Not to say he's awful, but he's like the definition of an average quarterback. That's what Dak Prescott is. Yeah, he's okay. He's fine. Well, whatever. Then you have the Texans, Deshaun Watson, decent. But remember last year, he was 17 for 34 against the Patriots. Because remember, he had his coming out party against the Patriots in his rookie season. Then last year, Belichick's like, yeah, that's not happening again. He was 17 of 34, not to mention the fact that we talked about Andrew Luck over the weekend about how he decided to retire early because he had all these injuries. Deshaun Watson could have that similar situation. He has no protection whatsoever. I don't know what's going on in Houston. They have not protected him whatsoever. And then in the playoffs, he was awful too. So then you have the Chiefs with Mahomes. We all know that dude's legit. I mean, he's a stud. Bengals with Dalton. That sucks. Then you have the Bills with Allen again.
This guy sucks.
Then you have the Dolphins with, I'm guessing at that point it's going to be Rosen, right? Week 17. So if you count that up, I just went through the list of the quarterbacks the Patriots play. So that's 16 games. And in my mind, you play three legitimate quarterbacks, Ben Roethlisberger, Pat Mahomes, and Carson Wentz. And then two that are pretty good in Baker Mayfield. Like I said, I'm not very high on him. And Deshaun Watson, who I am high on, he's got no protection whatsoever. So if you look at it, there's 31% of the Patriots games next season where they actually play legitimate quarterbacks. So I look at this Patriots team, you should very easily be somewhere around 13-3, possibly 14-2. This is a very easy schedule for the Patriots, and I feel more positive about the Patriots after tonight than I did before the night started. And that's surprising to say, because when you look at it from that perspective, there's not much usually that you can gain from a fourth preseason game. But I feel like if you watch the game tonight, there was something to gain. And that was what you saw out of guys like Josh Gordon, who looks like he's ready to go. And especially a guy like Demaryius Thomas. That was the biggest surprise to me. And maybe the biggest surprise out of the whole preseason was that Demaryius Thomas was actually out there. He was out there in the fourth preseason game. And it looked like Demaryius Thomas is healthy coming off that torn Achilles. That's something that I did not expect to see whatsoever. That is absolutely shocking to me that he's back this quickly from a torn Achilles. So to me, I feel even better about this Patriots team. I was already very high on them, but the receiving core from my mind was a question mark. But now it's like, it doesn't look like a question mark. Now, again, I understand the fact that Demaryius Thomas and Josh Gordon are out there playing against a bunch of scrubs. But did you expect that Demaryius Thomas would be this healthy at this point, coming back from an Achilles tear that he suffered in week 16 of last season? So you feel even better about the Patriots after their fourth preseason game, which usually you don't draw many conclusions out of that game. It's just basically about end of the roster guys, like who's going to make the team. But I feel like a really important question was answered from the Patriots' perspective tonight, and that was, who's going to catch balls from Tom Brady this season? You knew what you had with Edelman. You thought you knew what you had with Gordon. But now Demaryius Thomas has thrown his hat into the ring to go along with the Philip Dorsett's of the world. So now it looked like a position where you didn't know who was going to be there. And now you feel a lot more confident heading into the season. And when I look at the Patriots in terms of how confident I feel with this team heading into the year, compare that to the Chiefs. You look at the Chiefs' schedule. They play the NFC North this year. So that's Rodgers and the Packers. That's the Bears with a really legitimate defense. Minnesota's going to be better now that Gary Kubiak's there. It looks like their offense is going to be better this season than it was a year ago. And yeah, the Lions suck. But nonetheless, those are three pretty difficult teams in the Packers, the Bears, and of course Minnesota. And then they have the Chargers twice. So that's like a legitimate team in their division. And they lost to the Chargers once last year. We all know the Patriots division is absolute crap. And then the game that the Patriots play against the Chiefs this season is actually at home. So the Pats will play the Chiefs at Foxborough. So those are the two teams in my mind that are competing for the number one seed. And the third best team in the AFC to me right now, since Andrew Luck is retired, would be the Los Angeles Chargers. And when I look at the Chargers and the Chiefs, they have to play each other twice during the regular season so they can kind of eat up on each other. So the Patriots should come away this season with the number one seed in the AFC. I get they are the number one seed a lot, but they weren't a year ago, and they went into Arrowhead and they won. And this is a more talented team than the Patriots team that actually won the Super Bowl last season. And the way you look at the schedule and you start to kind of look at the quarterbacks that you're going up against and you look at the schedule the Chiefs have, you feel really confident about where this Patriots team is heading into the 2019 season. 617-779-7937 is your number. Let's get to John. He's in a car. What's up, John?
Hey, what's going on?
Good. What do you got, man?
Good. I just want to talk about the defense and how Jamie Collins hasn't really been a presence in that preseason. I just want to.
Okay, John. Good one, man. Yeah, that was entertaining. Yeah, glad you stuck on hold for that one. If you want to hop on board, the number is 617-779-7937. When I look at the defense, though, in totality, to, I guess, get to his original question, this is the best I've felt about a Patriots defense in ages, really. I mean, I would have to go back to the 2014 season. Now, you look at the Patriots, and they always come away with one of the top 10 defenses in the NFL from a scoring perspective. But this year, in terms of the personnel, you feel better than you have in recent years. The secondary is going to be legit. You know what you have with Gilmore and the McCourties, etc. But now, the biggest piece to me in terms of what you added isn't Jamie Collins. It's the fact that Michael Bennett comes over. And the shocking thing is, when you get rid of a player, not get rid of a player because he went into free agency. Okay, so Trey Flowers decides to leave and go to Detroit. And hey, go ahead, go get your money. But it's very rare that you can get a player go to a different team and get whatever it was, $16 million per season, and his replacement can actually be an upgrade and a cheaper one at that. Because Michael Bennett still played at a very high level last year, and Michael Bennett is costing the Patriots much less than Trey Flowers is costing the Lions. Remember, it's about a $10 million cap hit. And it feels like, to me, Michael Bennett is like the perfect Patriots player because he's very versatile, can play multiple different positions. And if you look at it from the pass rushing perspective, he's actually better at that than was Trey Flowers. The other thing about Michael Bennett is this. If you remember back to the 2014 Super Bowl, I guess it was technically played in 2015, but the Super Bowl game the Patriots played against the Seattle Seahawks, remember how good Michael Bennett was in that game? He was a wrecking ball, and that was like the Patriots' number one priority from an offensive perspective was to know where number 72 was. They had to know where Michael Bennett was so they could slow him down. Everybody talks about the Legion of Boom, Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, etc., Bobby Wagner and Cam Chancellor, that group of guys. And the guy that the Patriots were most concerned about heading into that game was actually Michael Bennett. And they were right because Michael Bennett completely dominated that game from a defensive perspective. And if the Seahawks actually won that game, you could have made a really convincing and legitimate argument that Michael Bennett should have been the MVP of that game. All right, a lot more to get into. If you want to hop on board, what do you make of the receiving core heading into the season? With the emergence of Demaryius Thomas, are you buying into Demaryius Thomas actually playing a major role on this team? Or are you saying, ah, it's just one preseason game. I'm not buying into it whatsoever. The number is 617-779-7937. We'll get you trending in just a second here on WEI.
93.7 FM, WEI.
Let's talk about their backup quarterback situation. What are you hearing about their plans right now involving Brian Hoyer?
No, Greeny, we're 48 hours away from the day where veterans get cut and people kind of look at it and they get surprised. Well, why would they move that guy or cut or traded? The Patriots drafted Jarrett Stidham out of Auburn this year. He's on the roster along with Brian Hoyer and, of course, Tom Brady. Do they want to keep three quarterbacks? This is a discussion that's going on in New England right now. Obviously, Brian Hoyer has a lot of value to that team as a veteran presence, as a guy who can run their scout team. A lot of things that he does that are very important that Jarrett Stidham, the rookie, may not be ready to do. However, three quarterbacks, not every team likes to carry three. Sometimes that can take up a valuable roster spot. So I wouldn't be overly surprised if Hoyer was a guy, was among the veterans who was either released or more likely traded in advance of that 4 p.m. Eastern time deadline on Saturday to get the rosters down to 53. Just something to keep an eye on there in New England.
Yeah, Hoyer has sort of a Josh McCown-esque kind of quality about him, right? That you figure he's a dependable guy, you plug him in there. Indianapolis might be a team that could be interested in something like that. So that is a good thing to keep an eye on. Dan, thank you.
All right, that was Mike Greenberg and Dan Graziano earlier this morning on Get Up talking about the Patriots quarterback situation. Should they keep three or should they just keep two? 617-779-7937. And as Dan Graziano points out, there could be a market for Brian Hoyer. Not that you'd get anything significant, but if some of these teams become desperate for a quarterback and the team they point out, the Indianapolis Colts with the Andrew Luck situation, some of these teams become desperate for a backup quarterback. Even a team like Carolina, who we saw here, last week, where you look at that team, who's their backup? Kyle Allen, Will Greer, they don't really have a quality backup either. So one of these teams may say, hey, Brian Hoyer's a decent enough player, and especially in Carolina, we know that Cam Newton, it seems like he misses at least a game a season. You look at Indianapolis, you have Jacoby Brissett, you need a backup there. The Patriots may actually be able to find a way to get some quality or get a draft asset, nothing high or anything along those lines, but you may be able to get at least a little bit of a draft asset, something in return for Brian Hoyer. And if you told me that before the season, I would have said you're absolutely crazy. You're going to get something for Brian Hoyer. You may actually legitimately be able to get something in return for Brian Hoyer, who's not going to play a down for this team this season, because there's so many other teams in the league right now that in terms of their backup quarterback position, it's an absolute mess. So Hoyer may actually become somewhat of a commodity. Now, the one thing that these other teams can do is they can say, all right, we're going to call your bluff and say you're going to release Brian Hoyer. If we don't trade for him, you're going to release him anyway, so we can just go out and try to get him in the open market. But the problem with that is you may have other teams that are competing to get Brian Hoyer in terms of bringing him in to be the backup quarterback, because he does have a good reputation around the league as being somebody that's a good teammate. And, oh, he runs the scout team so well. I mean, nobody has ever run a scout team like Brian Hoyer before, if you ask the Patriots. I mean, it's really unbelievable what Brian Hoyer can do in terms of his ability on the scout team. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 90 minutes or so. WEI Late Night. Let's get to Danny's in Boston. What's up, Dan?
I actually had a question about the receiver corps. It seems like there's a lot of names out there right now at the present as of the end of this game. And I'm wondering if Jacoby Myers might actually not make the cut, because he didn't really click with Brady in the game the other day, but he's done well with Stedman, but he's not going to be playing with Stedman. He, in effect, if he made the team, he'd be playing with Brady.
Yeah, it's a fair point, Dan. Appreciate the phone call. If you look at it, you have Gordon, you have N'Keal Harry, you have Demaryius Thomas, you have Philip Dorsett, you have Julian Edelman. So those are five guys that are making the team. And then you start to think about it. Matthew Slater's on the team as more of a special teams ace, but that's six right there in terms of the receiver position. Jacoby Myers, it may be tough for him to make this team, especially considering the fact that just a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how great this guy's been in training camp, and he didn't click with Brady. Now, I still imagine that he's going to be on the team, but he's not going to play a role. He isn't. He's not going to play a role in this team this upcoming season, and people were labeling him as this next great thing for the Patriots. It reminded me of Sudfeld years ago. Remember the tight end? People actually nicknamed him Baby Gronk. They thought he was going to be like a major contributor to this team. The reality of the situation is this. Jacoby Myers, he showed some things, has some nice skills, but when it came to the Tennessee game, one of the things that he said himself was the speed was different, okay? He noticed that the speed was a little bit different when he was going against the opposing starting defense for the Tennessee Titans, and that was the issue with Jacoby Myers coming out of NC State. He doesn't have much speed. He, in fact, ran the second slowest 40 time at the combine, and it's a good thing for the Patriots that Jacoby Myers isn't going to play a role in this team. If you can actually get production out of a guy like Demaryius Thomas, who we saw tonight looked healthy, and you get production out of Josh Gordon, you get Philip Dorsett, you get Julian Edelman, that's a good thing for the Patriots. And it feels like to me Brady would much rather have a veteran guy like Demaryius Thomas than a rookie like Jacoby Myers. Just think about it from Tom Brady's perspective. How many years has he gone through this crap where he's got to every couple of years develop a wide receiver? And if you look at it from Brady's angle on this, this is the first time in his career where he has no incentive, unless the guy's going to help him this year, to help develop a player for future seasons, right? Because technically, Tom Brady's in a walk year. Now, I don't see him ever playing for another organization, but the point being, he's technically in a walk year. So it'd be one thing if Tom Brady was signed up for the contract he ultimately wanted, right? Was he wanted stability. He wanted a long-term extension, 2 to 3 years, whatever the case may be, whatever Brady ultimately wanted. He has said multiple times that he wants to play till the age of 45. So when you look at it from Brady's angle, what's his incentive to work with a guy like Jacoby Myers? Now, it's different with N'Keal Harry, because N'Keal Harry is a first-round draft pick, and they're expecting him to play a role on this team in 2019. But if you're a player that is maybe going to contribute in future years, what's Brady's incentive for working very, very hard with that player if he's probably not going to play a role in 2019? So that's why Brady's much more interested in a guy like Demaryius Thomas, not to mention the fact that Demaryius Thomas actually helps the Tom Brady brand, the TB12 brand, because Demaryius Thomas, as we learned from the Providence Journal, Mark Daniels had it earlier in the week, he's actually been working as Demaryius Thomas at the TB12 Center. Like, this is the perfect, this is a living advertisement for the TB12 Center and the TB12 brand as it pertains to Tom Brady. He can basically promote his own product and use this player that he's has on his own team to say, see, it worked for Demaryius Thomas. And Demaryius Thomas, can you imagine if he has like this really good year for the Patriots? He's going to be a spokesperson for the TB12 plan. So Brady's picking up more clients. So who do you think he has more incentive to develop? A guy that's been a multi-time Pro Bowler, a guy that's had 1,000-yard receivers, multiple times, 1,000-yard seasons multiple times in his career, a guy that was a first-round draft pick. Who do you think has more incentive to develop this year chemistry with? A guy like Demaryius Thomas or Jacoby Myers? Pretty simple to figure that one out. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Mike. He is in North Providence tonight. What's up, Mike?
So you're making the grand revelation to us that Tom Brady doesn't like throwing to rookie wide receivers.
Yeah, exactly, right, Mike? I mean, crazy.
Yeah, I could care less that he and Jacoby didn't, you know, click the first time that they played together in that preseason game.
Yeah, Mike, I got to say, though,
it wasn't like Tom was making great passes to him either, by the way.
Right, no, that's fair. But, Mike, I got to say this, though. I did not expect tonight to see this out of Demaryius Thomas. This guy tore his Achilles at the end of December. I did not expect to see this.
That's the key thing here. That was the second time he tore his Achilles, by the way.
Yeah, right? It was the other leg the first time, though.
He's all question marks. Josh is all question marks. Edelman blew his ACL out recently in the whole season. So this wide receiver core halfway through the season could get thin real fast.
Fair point.
I remember the last time that Tom had to start throwing to a rookie, and that was when Gronk got hurt and he had to start throwing to Malcolm Mitchell after basically completely ignoring the kid even when he was on the field.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can get put into that situation and then suddenly you're happy you're going to have a guy like Jacoby Myers around. So, I mean, let's see how that plays out. With regards to the defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of these things where I think that people kind of slept. Everybody kind of noticed the move to quick passing and power running late season last year. But to me, also just as much as J.C. Jackson entering into the, you know, starting lineup and Jason McCourty kind of, you know, really settling in and our secondary becoming strong, because that's the real strength of the team. Those guys' ability to single cover and to be excellent, you know, in pass coverage overall, basically allowed Belichick to blitz whenever he wanted to. And that's what you're going to see a lot of this year. You know, and I think he likes the flexibility of the front seven or the front six if we have another defensive back out there. And he's even kind of blurring the lines between the positions. You know, is a guy a defensive end or is he a linebacker? He's kind of whatever you need him to be at any given time.
Yeah,
he goes and gets a big guy like Juwan Williams.
Yeah, and Mike, to your point about the secondary and how the secondary is going to be arguably the best unit on this team, that's how Belichick builds it, right? He puts his money, he puts the big money in terms of the salary cap into the secondary, the Devin McCourty's of the world, the Stephon Gilmore's of the world, because then he knows he can generate a pass rush however he wants to do that, however he wants to do it. That's why he lets a guy like, or trades Chandler Jones. That's why he lets Trey Flowers go, because he knows that he can figure out a way to generate the pass rush. He's more worried about what his guys look like on the back end, because he can't find a way to just cover receivers. He needs those guys actually to be able to have that ability. The pass rush, though, he can take care of himself.
Well, when it comes to getting to the quarterback, people notice the guys that are actually sacking him, particularly the guys that are lining up, you know, on the line. But the reality is there's two sides of this, and there's two ways to ultimately do it. Yeah, you know, the D-line, the ends, and people like that are speeding the quarterback up because they're trying to get to him and they're putting a lot of pressure on him, the secondary slows him down. You know, the longer they can cover, he has nobody to throw to, which allows the other guys to get to him. And in particular, if you have excellent coverage, they can send in another person. And we saw the difference. They started off the season last year rushing three sometimes and dropping eight. And then, you know, at the end of the season, especially I remember that Chargers playoff game, going cover zero at times and just completely obliterating, you know, the offensive line for the Chargers.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. And to Mike's point about the receiving corps, it's a good one because if you look at it, these are guys that you don't know for sure are going to make it through the season. Josh Gordon, we know with the off-the-field stuff. Demaryius Thomas, is 31. He's coming off a torn Achilles, and Julian Edelman is the 33-year-old player. But I think what my biggest takeaway from tonight was I feel a lot better about the receiving core than I did just about a week ago, because I did not expect that Demaryius Thomas, coming off a torn Achilles, was going to be able to perform at this type of level. And looking at the way he was running, it didn't look like he was favoring that right leg or left leg, whatever the case may be. It didn't look like he was favoring either leg. He looked fine. He looked fit. He looked like he was explosive. And I get there's a lot of scrubs out there, right, for the New York Giants. But the biggest thing was just to see Demaryius Thomas on a football field. It's one thing for us to hear, like, oh, he's practicing, he's off the physically unable to perform list. It's a totally different thing to see him actually on the football field. And Demaryius Thomas looked like he was moving around really, really good. Had 8 catches for 87 yards, 2 touchdowns as well. Nice back shoulder throw from Jarrett Stidham on one of them. The other one, Jarrett Stidham scrambled around and found him in the back of the end zone. So what I take away from that is Bill Belichick may look really, really, not that he doesn't already look really smart, but $2 million around that for Demaryius Thomas. If Demaryius Thomas is an actual contributor to this team, like it looks like he's going to be, and he has a really good season, the rest of the NFL is going to be like, oh yeah, we probably should have called him, huh? We probably should have taken a look at this guy. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Spencer. He's in Beverly. What's up, Spencer?
Hey, good evening. Thanks for having me on. You have a great show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Three points I want to make right now. First of all, Dombrowski must think we're soft, okay? The way he talks about how people are looking at his bullpen and the calls that he was fielding, because there's so much talent in that bullpen that they just couldn't live without it. And he just kept all the cards for himself. Is he kidding us?
Yeah, no, it's a joke. I mean, come on. It's unbelievable. And... Yeah, Spencer, I don't know what he's thinking with that. I mean, look, I don't know how many times he can hold a press conference or speak to the media and come across as a complete idiot. It's every time this guy goes out to the damn podium, he sounds like a complete buffoon. Spencer, think about it from this perspective. Spencer, this guy had a press conference to announce they didn't make any moves at the deadline. He held a press conference to do that, and he made the situation worse because he said if we were closer to first place, maybe we would have done something.
Our bullpen has basically been fine.
Yeah, I mean, come on. He actually had to. It's unreal. Hey, it's hilarious. Yeah.
Two quick things I want to say. Oh, you know, Patriots are going to have a great year. I think they're going to lose 3 games all season. That's it.
Yeah, I think three, maybe two.
Shot.
Yeah.
They have a shot, number 7. Shot. But what I really want to talk about, I hope this isn't off base, but Tuukka Rask. The thing that I can't stand from my goalie is that he says he's a paid entertainer. We don't want to hear that in Boston. We want a guy that has the right attitude and wants to work hard at his craft and make himself the best he possibly can be. And he comes off the ice when he loses, and he hangs his head in the press conference and says, you know what, I'm a paid entertainer. I don't think about when I leave here. You're in Boston, buddy. If you want to have that attitude, go play for Arizona. Go play for Florida. Don't want you here. I was there. The curious feeling in the building. I love.
All right. Hey, Spencer, I appreciate the phone call, man. You're breaking up a little bit there. Wow. I did not expect a Tuukka Rask call tonight. I can tell you that. I did not expect to hear about Tuukka Rask tonight and him. What was he? What did he say, Nick? Tuukka claimed he was an entertainer or something?
I don't know. He hung his head and he didn't like it.
I mean, look, I don't know. I don't want to get into another conversation about the Stanley Cup. I don't want to go back in time. But I don't know how many people can complain about how Tuukka performed this postseason. If anything, that was a positive run for Tuukka Rask. All right, a lot more to get into. If you want to hop on board, weigh in on the 3 quarterback situation. Do you want Brian Hoyer to stick around? Or do you think they should give him his walking papers and go with 2 quarterbacks and even? I mean, we heard Dan Graziano, NFL insider, saying they could possibly trade Brian Hoyer. Imagine that. You could actually get draft capital or maybe an offensive lineman, something for Brian Hoyer. I cannot even fathom that that is now actually a possibility for this Patriots team. The number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you here on WEI Late Night.
WEI 93.7 FM.
Among the guys you got a chance to look at were Josh Gordon and Demaryius Thomas. Demaryius in particular looked really comfortable. Were you encouraged by what you saw and happy for him?
Yeah, we'll take a look at the film and, you know, see how it looked.
On first blush, do you have any opinion at all?
Oh, well, I'll take a look at the film.
Oh, man, that's mid-season form. You can't even say that Demaryius Thomas looked good. This dude's coming off a torn Achilles. Bill Belichick says, yeah, we'll look at the film. We'll let you know. Tommy Curran tried to push him on it, too. Yeah, but Yeah, we'll look at the film. He can't even give you an answer on that. It's unbelievable. How can you be that robotic? It really is a skill in and of itself. And I know he's great with the players and whatnot. All the players speak very highly of him. Some of the players say he's funny. But that is unbelievable how he can be that robotic. You got a guy that you barely paid. You're giving him, I mean, for NFL standards, not for the normal human being, not for you and I, but he's getting $2 million per season, essentially, or $2 million this season. You took a flyer on the guy. He's coming off a torn Achilles. He goes out there in a preseason game, and I understand that the Giants were playing like their fourth stringers or whatever the case may be, guys that aren't going to be playing major roles on this team heading into the season. But the fact that Demaryius Thomas went out there and had 8 catches for 87 yards after he tore his Achilles in week 16, got to be pretty positive. And Bill Belichick won't even give you anything. Mid-season form for the hoodie. 617-779-7937 is your number. Brian Barrett with you here on WEI Late Night. Let's get to Jack. He's in Quincy. What's up, Jack?
Hey, what's going on? I wanted to relax. I mean, you were just stating the Demaryius looks good. The Sox are 4 games out of a wild card. Why is everyone so upset?
What do you mean so upset?
5.5. Well, they just seem like the sky is falling. We're the city of champions.
Whoa, Jack. Hold on. Who's concerned? First of all, who's concerned about the Patriots? Because you're saying relax on the Patriots and the Sox?
Yeah, I mean,
Everyone's being positive about the Patriots tonight. I don't know where you're getting the negativity.
Well, because you were all over Bill because he couldn't say his play was like this great guy.
No, Jack. I'm saying that it's funny that Bill Belichick won't say anything. He's robotic, man. He's mid-season form. I'm saying that as a compliment to Bill. Yeah, I know, Jack. I'm saying that as a compliment. He's already mid-season form. I'm giving Bill some credit, man.
Yeah, I don't take it as a compliment.
Okay, what's the Sox point, though? You think we should be more positive about the Sox?
Yes, I think so. They're on a winning streak. They're only, you say 5.5, so what? They're 5.5 from the wild card. They have a chance.
So you're happy about it? You're happy about it?
I am. I love the Sox. I love the Sox better than the Patriots myself, but that's beside myself.
Where do the Bruins and the Celtics rank in your hierarchy?
Yeah. I like the Celtics. Bruins blew it this year.
I'd agree on that. Appreciate the call, Jack. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. You know what? By the way, I was getting my hair cut yesterday at an establishment. I don't know if I want to say the name because then I'd be giving them publicity. It's a chain, by the way. I was getting my hair cut yesterday, and they were showing this thing on Nesson. It's called, like, Behind the Bee, this program they have, and they're going through the Stanley Cup Final. I don't want to watch that. What the hell? It's like all like behind the scene footage and guys are like mic'd up. Brad Marchand was mic'd up for a while. I'm like, why the hell are we showing this? Why do you want your fans to relive a gruesome loss that they, and to Jack's point, they blew that series against the Blues. Why would we want to watch that? Why would we want to watch Behind the Bee going behind the Stanley Cup Final when the Bruins lost? I had no interest in that whatsoever. And it was, they pick what's on at the place. I can't ask them to change the channel. I guess I could, but there's like 8 people in there. I felt bad doing it, but I don't know why we're showing that. Let's get to Gary. He's in Alston. What's up, Gary?
Hey, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to point out, you know, behind the secondary, I really think the running backs are a strength this year. And with the absence of Gronk, I want to see Tom throw the ball more to those guys because I heard a lot of different times that, you know, they made plays out of the backfield, Burkhead, White, et cetera. I know from being an SEC fan and going to Florida, Sonny Michel can catch the ball out of the backfield better than he has so far. Maybe he'll step up a bit. But, you know, Tom's got to have a little relief for not being able to go to Gronk anymore. And I just think the running backs are going to show it, not only in the passing game, but the running game. As far as the Sox go, we talked 2 weeks ago, and I called it they were going to be 3 back of the wild card coming into September 5. I still stand by that. I think they're starting to play better. And it's been a really disappointing season, but I'm far from giving up. I still say we can cop that second wild card spot. Have a good night, bro.
I appreciate the call, Gary. You can grab Gary's line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. A lot of positivity around the Sox tonight. The one thing I will say that is good for the Sox, the A's are not playing particularly well right now, and the Rays are not playing particularly well right now. The problem is you got to leap both of them. That's the thing that the Sox are going to have trouble with. You need both of them to play poorly down the stretch. Although, I was looking at the A's schedule. They still have a series with the Yankees left, and they still have a series with the Astros left. And the Astros are going to want to beat the A's badly because the Astros are trying to get that number one overall seed, as are the Yankees. The Rays are a mess right now. They're going to get Snell back. at the end of the month in September, and they get Glasnow back. They're hoping middle of the month. So the Rays are catchable. I'm just wondering if both those teams are catchable. The way the Sox are playing right now, yeah, it's nice to see, but the problem is, can you get enough pitching down the stretch here? Because Evaldi's going to start tomorrow night. That guy has been absolutely horrible. He has been absolutely horrible. Now, you do have David Price coming back, and we'll see how he pitches on Sunday. So that's a positive, and it's going to be a bullpen game on Sunday. But if you asked me that question about a week and a half ago, I would have told you you're completely crazy, but now I think there still is like this little bit of hope. And I'm not saying it's a great chance, but I think there's a little bit of hope that the that the Red Sox could actually get that spot. Little tiny, the window's open just a little bit, just a little bit. To his point about the running backs, it's an interesting point about Sony Michel. So Sony Michel last year only had 7 catches. And Sony Michel, in terms of, now this is a stat put out there by Pro Football Focus, like when Sony Michel was on the field, he was the most predictable running back in the NFL. It was like 71% of the snaps that he was on the field for, the Patriots ran the football, most predictable running back in the entire league. So last game that he actually played, the third preseason game, Tom Brady did not target him. I'm wondering this. There's either two possibilities for Sony Michel this season. And I do agree with the point that the running back position is deep and you have all types of different guys, right? James White is more of a pass catcher. You have Damian Harris, who's going to run in between the tackles. Sony Michel, we saw last year, unbelievable running the football. Burkhead can do a little bit of both. But back to the original point with Sony Michel. So Sony Michel, there's one of two things. So Sony Michel, part of what they wanted him to do this offseason, or at least part of what you would hope they wanted him to do, was improve in terms of a pass catcher. And to his point, he did do that at Georgia a lot more than he did last year, but the Patriots were only caught 7 passes. So there's one of two things that could be possible. Either one, they're just not going to showcase that yet. They don't want to showcase that Sony Michel is actually a legitimate receiver out of the backfield yet, and that's a new part of their offense where they're going to feature him more in the passing game. So that could be a possibility, because we've seen this in different elements before. Like in terms of like certain guys, Randy Moss back in 07 didn't play in the preseason, right? So there's certain things that they're not going to show you in the preseason, and maybe they'll bust it out in week one against the Steelers. So that certainly could be a possibility that they're just waiting. They're waiting for the regular season to showcase Sony Michel as a receiving back. The other possibility, though, is this, that Sony Michel is just not very good catching the ball out of the backfield. So it's one of those two things. It's either they're not showing us any of it, or he just really, really sucks in terms of catching the ball to the backfield. Now, personally, I think it's the first one, because Sony Michel, to his point, did catch the ball to the backfield a lot more at Georgia, and he's a freaky athlete, right? I mean, he's very twitchy, and he's got wiggle. So when I look at it from Sony Michel's perspective, he should be able to catch the ball out of the backfield. So I'm more in that camp, but I'm just letting you know there is that possibility that Sony Michel is just not good in terms of a receiving entity, if you will. All right, number is 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board here. Should the Patriots keep 3 quarterbacks? What do you make of the receiving core? Do you trust that Demaryius Thomas is going to be a legitimate weapon this season? All that on the table right here on WEI Late Night.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.